Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting live from somewhere in the desert, posting up truth like a stamp in the corner of a letter, it's Leander Grace That Loud. Amid lies we seek truth. Amid truth we awaken. And once awakened, we speak truth everywhere. Now we're opening night and powering to reveal what's been hidden in plain sight. It's time for Leander Grace Out Loud, because your silence will not protect you. Indeed, your silence will not protect you. Guys, I don't know if I'm recording or not. I tell you what, it's been, I couldn't even hear the volume on the intro, so it may not even be working well for us. I had a little bit of trouble getting here online. Hello, good afternoon, good evening, and good morning to some. I am Leander Grace, your host, and I am trying really, really hard to get these button pushed correctly for online, but it doesn't, I don't even know if you can hear me. So I'm going to go into the chat room. And if those of you who are logged in the chat room can let me know that you can hear the volume, that would be good. I'm not real sure. I lost connection there for a minute, but we'll see how this goes. All right, so I'm just going to go ahead and go forward just as if everything is working fine. I don't know that it is, but I'm going to assume so. I am your host. Good evening, everyone. A hearty hello to all you folks out there, and a great big shout out to all you MAGA patriots, maybe in an on or two, and those on the road folks. And a salute to our Space Force Rangers. And I want to welcome you to our flagship program, Holistic Truth, on Wednesday night. Here it is, January 18th, 2023, as we continue to broadcast live from the high mountain desert. We do continue as well to hold a space of peace, love, and grace and solidarity with patriots worldwide as the Great Awakening does continue to accelerate across the face of the earth. Our goal today, as it is every day, is to help relieve suffering through empowerment by shining our light on and getting to the holistic truth. It's a very exciting time to be alive and aware and awakened about this business of the one thing. Guys, I'm excited about tonight's broadcast. I almost didn't get to come on. We had a big spike in the Schumann frequency. Oh, yeah, it's affected me like a big dog. Got a little bit of a dizziness going on. I got a little bit of heart palpitation going on, but it only lasted for just a minute. So for those of you joining us here for the first time, let me go ahead and define this term for you. Holistic truth, just as holistic medicine refers to the total care of the human body through the mind, body, and spirit. Holistic truth refers to the viewing, treating, and healing of the human experience through empathy, compassion, and ultimately forgiveness. And we're going to talk about it all tonight, folks. We're talking about the physical and the metaphysical, the scriptural and the secular, the historical, hysterical, and politically mundane. And we'll be blowing up all the little non sequiturs that they like to throw out and get us to follow, but they don't make any sense. So remember, too, as you listen to the broadcast or the podcast, pod people, we love you, too. Question everything. We're not part of the media, legacy media, and I don't expect you to take me at my word. It's not my place to convince you. I'm here to spread the light. Research what you hear so you can own your own experience. Now, the peak topic that we have tonight is going to be the Great Awakening. We're going to talk mainly about that tonight, symptoms, care, what to look out for, what you may be feeling, some of the physical things that might not make sense. Now, Friday, I was on the air, and I came out, and I was like, you know, welcome to the broadcast. It is January 23rd. It wasn't any more January 23rd then than it is now. I guess I had a little bit of a time warp. We're going to be talking about that in tonight's broadcast. So actually, the last broadcast that we had was on the 13th, Friday the 13th, and with one part of my brain, I knew that. But with the other part of my brain, I was looking at I was thinking the 23rd, for whatever it could be, 2023, don't know why, but I was convinced we were already full ahead of the next Monday, which is not the case. So forgive the time warp. I'll go ahead and edit that little write-up there so it becomes, you know, real obvious. I'm not sure how long I'm going to stay on the air tonight. Don't know if we're going to take a break. Don't know if we're going to go straight through. We might just go straight through. And then I'll check to make sure that we are recording, guys. But I got a lot to put out and a little bit of time to put it out in, because some things are actually going on behind the scenes in the hood that we need to go ahead and take care of. So there you have that. But one thing is for certain, guys, everybody is waiting and expectantly waiting because we know that change is upon us. We know this. And a lot of folks, that's what the broadcast is going to be tonight. We're going to hit a little few of the headlines, very few of the headlines, right? We're just going to point out where we're winning, and then we're going to move on, because change is upon us. It is imminent. It is the very next thing that occurs, and is occurring even now as I'm speaking. So we're not sure what the picture is going to look like when we're done. We know it's going to be glorious, right? Or when it's going to be completed, but we'll know it when it's done. But this is for certain. Change is upon us. And I want you to listen very closely to these words. Within every dimension and every layer of change that we as a species and we the people can conceive, and again, on levels and dimensions that we cannot yet imagine. I know you've heard me say it before on the broadcast. I say it again. It is a very exciting time to be alive. Physical transformation is going on. Cognitive transformation, emotional and spiritual. And these things are all coming together. And these are simply experiences and the times of now that we signed up for. And gifts will be coming on board. All right, we're going to be talking a little bit some of the gifts that we're seeing manifest in some of the community now. And it's kind of weird stuff. But I do want to also say that I am fortunate to have the council of, or council of, how does that sound, the contacts within the mental health community to be able to run some of these things by them, and for them to be able to see the difference in perhaps a psychiatric disorder and a spiritual condition. In fact, I had a little bit of a, this is a spiritual condition, right in the middle of the front of a meeting with some mental health professionals. We were going over some things, and I brought something up, and boy, next thing you know, Holy Spirit was in the house, right? And I was overcome. And we'll talk about that in a little bit as we go forward. So truths and half-truths are out there, yet we are and each are individually responsible for knowing, understanding, and or experiencing the truth. We got to look for it, guys. This is not a time to fear it or anything else. Understand that we now come to the tipping point where we know that most of the stuff that we believe is real is not, right? We've got to understand that the history that we've been told is farcical. It doesn't even add up when you look at it. And why haven't we looked at it? Because we've been so busy trying to stay alive. Well, those things can change. We're going to be able to start learning some things. We're going to learn about the geography of the place that we call home. It's not what we've been told. The book of Job and throughout all the scriptures tell us that it is flat, that it has a dome, that the heavens are stretched out as a dome over it. We're told this in the scriptures, and yet science tried to convince us of something different. And so now we're going to have to re-unlearn the lies and relearn the truth that God was trying to tell us all along. Now, do we have all of the answers of it? Nope, because I haven't been out there way up there to peer down, but I know a lot of people have, and a lot of people know, and a lot of people are going to be telling us the truth going forward. I'm looking very forward to that. So some other things we're finding out. Climate change is one great big hoax. That's why all the gazillionaires go out there and buy beachfront property, because they know there's not going to be any of that stuff. And we're finding out that all these great big horrific hurricanes and all the drought is all being imposed by those who are operating weather manipulation materials. We know that now. So there's no global warming. There's just a bunch of crazy scientists out there trying to shake stuff up and make everybody scared, trying to ruin food supplies, right? Trying to convince us that it's not okay to live, that if we, our very existence on this planet, that God put us here and created us here, and we are not in the size numbers that we've been in the past, that we are a complete curse upon the earth. And that's not true. We were put here to manage it. We were put on the earth. God created us to be husbandmen to the earth, not to destroy each other for a percentage. That's not why we're here. We're here to love each other up and back to God and build the kingdom of God here on earth. But for that, we'll have to have a change of heart and a change of mind and a change of soul. And our bodies will be changing, because that's what God said is going to happen. And the changes are imminent. The changes are imminent. They just are. You know, I don't have a big space yet of everything that goes on in the world. I didn't have this. I didn't even plan on, I was going to get on air, and then I didn't get on air because of the symptoms that started up, and they started going. I was like, well, let's get on air. So here we are. So some of you guys, if you'll go to some of the websites and just do an internet search for Schumann Resonance, S-C-H-U-M-M-A-N, Resonance, R-E-S-O-N-A-N-C-E, and take a look at that, and you're going to find out the frequency we are vibrating under the dome. Now, remember, I keep saying in the broadcast, we're going to shake the dome. Well, the dome's shaking. Someone had documented that the frequency had got from what we're rocking at now all the way up to 67. No wonder we were having ringing in the ears, people, light workers, sensitivity workers, empaths, precogs. No wonder we had trouble walking a straight line for about 0.4 seconds. Right? Three steps of dizziness and then it resolved. Anybody else? Heart palpitations just for a little while and then it relieves itself. Little bitty shooting pains in different joint areas of your body, sometimes the wrist, sometimes the knees, right? Am I the only one? I don't think that I am. I'm hearing reports online I'm going through and I'm looking and people are going through the same thing. The body is changing with these frequencies, not for everybody, not for everybody yet. Not everybody, as we said on the broadcast, well, was it Friday, which was the 13th, got turned in plus 10. What the heck was that? It happens at different rates for different people. And for some people, they wake up politically and then seeing that the mess that they're in, and then they find out, yes, there is wickedness in the world, they run to God. We're seeing that. And they fall at the feet of Jesus. We're seeing over in the Islamic world, a lot of people giving their life to Christ, finding that Christ is the center. He is the answer. He's the way, the truth, and the life, because Jesus is visiting Islam as those who have been accolades of or followers of the Prophet Muhammad. They're actually getting visited by Jesus in their dreams. Isn't that amazing? You can Google it. It's kind of cool. It's happening. I think it's amazing. I'm not surprised, but I am absolutely amazed. You know, God said he was going to do this. He said he was going to do this. It's going to reach to a point where everybody, the knowledge is going to increase, and all of a sudden we're going to stand up and say, hey. And we have all of the instructions. All of the instructions that we need are in the letters in the book of Revelation, the letters to the churches. How do we go through this? How do we check our hearts and our minds? Check out what was necessary with the churches in the book of Revelation. Because remember in Habakkuk, is it Habakkuk? It says, is it, or is it Micah? No, Micah 6:8, you know. And you know what is right, O man. I've told you what to do. And what does the Lord require of you but to love God, to do mercy, or love mercy, do kindness, and walk humbly with your God. That's what's required. And the things that we need to look out for are all contained in the Revelation letters to the churches, right? I find this wrong with you, so let God find that wrong with us. I find you lukewarm. Let's not get lukewarm. Let's get hot. Let's turn this spirit up and start these sparks, all right? We are on a spiritual, emotional roll right now. People are waking up left and right, and they don't know what's right, and they don't know what's wrong, but they know that what's been going on, boom, all of a sudden lights are going on, and there's confusion. On the other side, that's the political side of the spectrum. On the other side is the spiritual side of the spectrum. People are waking up with symptoms and thoughts and things going on. Some of them are waking up very, very painfully, right, because there's some clogs in their energetics and the neurology and whatnot. Some of them are waking up confused and groggy. Some people are waking up and going right to back to sleep physically. I'm not talking about cognitively. I'm talking about, you know, there's so much going on in their body that their body has to just rest. You know, we all get to that point as well. So we're seeing that. We're seeing the Great Awakening accelerate across the face of the earth. We've been talking about this for 10 damn years, 13 years since 2010, 13 years, and we are seeing this exponentially. I mean, nothing can stop what's coming. People are waking up. You cannot put these genies back in the bottle. You can't undo the fact that they tried to kill us globally on a large scale. Every nation on the earth, they were trying to kill us. Who's they? Those who are making the pharmaceuticals, those who are doing the World Economic Forum in Davos, everyone who pushed this narrative that all of a sudden these viruses changed into these super things that we have known nothing about, never mind that we've been dealing with viruses since way before I was a little child. And now all of a sudden they have these super duper misunderstandings that they're telling the public. Put something on your face. You don't walk around with something on your face. You just don't. It's not healthy. Never has been healthy, not even one time. And you don't vaccinate in the middle of a pandemic. All that does is give rise to multiple variants. Unless, of course, you want that action to be the cover and a whoopsie for the variants that you're going to be putting into the vaccines anyway. Because what are they putting into the vaccines? Got a little bit of HIV going on. You got some, they got smallpox in it. They put some, what's that one? On all kinds of stuff. Just anything to attack the neurology. And you can find out on last Friday's broadcast why that is so important, because that's how we talk to God. Our neurology is how we contact God. And our body needs to be in good shape in order for all of the stuff to work. And what we're seeing going on now through this great awakening, I'm talking about the spiritual awakening portion of the program, is people's bodies are being roughed up so that the neurology can work, so the Kundalini experience can occur. And I want to talk a little bit about that tonight, the Kundalini. Now, there's a huge misunderstanding which usually comes about through improper labeling, right? And so people have assumed that a Kundalini is like a serpent, and we got a really bad connotation of a double serpent going up any type of a staff, right? I mean, we just, serpents, ew, we learn to hate them in the garden, do we not? So here we are dealing with what they're calling serpent energy, but it is nothing more than, if you imagine, and this is the way I see it, we have a double helix DNA. Well, there's actually a lot more to it than that, but we simply, in simplicity, right, we depict the DNA as being a double helix and spiral. So when we consider the chakras that are energy centers, they are there. I mean, just because nobody wants to believe them and you can't see them, you can't see God, you know, he's there. So the energy centers, you know, whether it's the number one in the root chakra, there's several chakras. There's main ones that we talk about, but there's like all kinds of different energy vortices coming off of us at any given time. But when we're talking about the Kundalini, specifically what we're talking about is in the wilderness. Now, we're going to go back to Isaiah 40, and I was talking to a mental health professional this week, as I said before, who actually knows Hebrew as well. And so he was able to help me get through this verse and see if it was the way I thought that it was. And we're going to repunctuate some things. So in Isaiah chapter 41 and chapter 40, verse 3, you know, when we've heard it several times, we hear it again in chapter of John, when John the Baptist is giving this and quoting Isaiah in chapter 40, verse 3, you know, he says, "One that crieth in the wilderness, make straight the," you know, that one. Let me pull it up so I can not have to give you, oh, you know the thing, because that's just embarrassing when we do that, right? We know who that reminds us of. But the exact wording, okay, and if you want to turn with me, we can go back to Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 3. And it says, "The voice of him that crieth in the..." Now, the way that Christians have historically and habitually delivered this particular verse has been the voice of him, you know, it's one, the voice of him in the wilderness... Pardon me, let me back up. I'm really excited about bringing you this, so I'm stumbling over all of my words. "The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, comma, prepare ye the way of the Lord, comma, make straight in the desert a highway for our God." And I'm going to propose to you, and I checked this out with someone who knows Hebrew, right? He lived there, knows it first language, that the punctuation's wrong. You know, when we have these books, the old manuscripts, they don't come necessarily punctuated. And so what has been customary for Christians, for born-again Christians, for evangelicals, wherever you want to label it, those who follow Christ, when we read the Old Testament, we don't always get it right. And so in this one, what I'm going to propose is that what it says is the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of God, of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. And I was discussing this, you know, with some of the professionals that I get to get together with, you know, and it's like, it makes sense. You know, and I gave the analogy is, does this not sound like a Kundalini rising experience to you? Oh, let that set. Because the highway to our God, as we've said in Psalm 19, God has always proclaimed, the heavens proclaim the glory of God. So how do we hear it? Well, we have to prepare in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Now, if we take a look at this particular scripture, and I want us to really drill in on this. You say, well, Leanna Grace, you're taking a stretch. Well, now, just bear with me. Anytime that we're talking about a prophecy, it's going to be true physically. It's going to be true metaphysically. It's going to be true scientifically. It's going to be true in an analogy and in a metaphor. It cannot be untrue in any regard. In an application, it's not going to be untrue. So in the wilderness, what does the wilderness represent? The wilderness represents not out with nothing, but the wilderness are trials and tribulations and things of that nature. So when we're talking about Midbar, which is the Hebrew word, that's Strong's Hebrew 4057. When we're talking the word Midbar, I mean, it's like a pasture or open field. And so by implication, it's a desert. Also speech, including its organs. You say, what, Leanna Grace? Well, right here, if we take a look at the Strong's note, 4057, the word is Midbar, M-I-D-B-A-W-R, and the accent stress is on the second syllable, so it's Midbar. And it's talking about also the speech and the organs. So what is the wilderness? The wilderness could be our vocal cords, the voice. Make it crieth in the wilderness. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. In the wilderness, in this whole thing, desert, and we look at the Strong's. Now I want you guys to follow me. This, it's a gorge. They use the word Arabah. And I'm not pronouncing it completely Hebrewistically, but you guys can go ahead and bear with me on this. Now, when it's talking about that, it's talking about the desert, right? And then it says a highway. Make ready in the desert a highway, not a path, a highway, or literally a thoroughfare. So I'm not so sure, and although it does apply in this regard as far as paving a road, right, making this path straight, I think it's more metaphorical, but I think it also applies to making a path, straightening out all of that stuff, all of the garbage that's inside, prepare a way for the Lord in the wilderness, in the confusion, in the organs, in your body, in your internalness. I'm not using it. I'm not making it a stretch. It's exactly what the Strong's definition is. In your body, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert through all of the tribulations. When it's talked about a desert, it could be hardships. It could be this. It could be that. Things that come against us. Make a highway for your God, or make that path. Understand the energy and the chi and the flowing of all of things that go on that actually build up and blow out and up through the very top chakra. That is exactly what's going on in the body, the wilderness of the body, all of the things that are tangled up in there. So take a look at that for yourself. Don't believe anything that I'm bringing to you. You know, you don't want to be misled. So go ahead and take a look at that. That would be Strong's number 4057 Midbar, and it's also in the sense of driving. All right, so pushing that energy up. It's not just driving cattle, because we're talking about speech and including the organs, right? Speech and the organs of speech. So how are we going to do that? How are we going to speak? When we open up that highway, when we open up that path and make it straight, so that the Holy Spirit can roll through this and the power of God can run through this. It is a whole nother ball game. It is a whole nother level of being. It is a whole nother sense of understanding. And that is not exclusive to me, and that is not exclusive to other small individuals here and there. That will become inclusive of most of the people who can hear my voice, but it's also going to be inclusive of mankind. This is where we're going. This is what we're building. Old things will pass away. Behold, all things will become new. They will become new. And it's going to be absolutely exciting to watch it go forward. Okay, so I want to keep contiguous with this. Might want to see. Let me go ahead and take a look over here just to see what's going on, see if there's any volume whatsoever. I'm going to go ahead and see if I can hear this next one. It's just going to be a little something-something. So hang on. Yeah, okay, there it is. I can hear that music. It must have just been a hold-up on the other one. So we'll see how it is on the other side of it. Guys, I'm not ready to take a break, although I should be, but I do want to go ahead and just push on. I do also, I think I'm going to set a link out during, I'll take a time out here and take a little bit of a break. I think I'm going to have to because I'm going to have to reorganize this. But when we come back on the other side of the break, we're going to talk about specifically the awakening care and symptoms, the symptoms of the awakening, what it looks like, what it sounds like, what it feels like. Now, I can only give you my experience, strength, and hope and share those things that other people have shared with me, some of the physicalness, and I've shared on some of the other broadcasts the craziness of it. You know, like I said, that I had a big meeting with some of the mental health professionals that I work with, and we were discussing this, there is a huge misunderstanding, a huge gap between understanding what a spiritual experience is and what a psychiatric crisis is, because one can look like the other. I tell you, one can look like the other. And so when you hear this broadcast and you do your own research, I'm going to ask you also to reach out to the mental health care professionals that you know. And I want you to suggest to them a writing that was made out in the 1950s, complete with all types of studies and case scenarios and all that stuff, very professional writing. And the name of the title of it is, you can probably find it just with an internet search. The title of it is Kundalini, Transcendence or Psychosis. Something like that, psychosis or transcendence or psychosis, something like that. And so it's well documented. It is documented in the DMSMR. And our mental health professionals, they could do with having a spiritual on this, because this is not something that you can that needs to be medicated away like they do with the rest of the VMAT2 expression in our emotionalities. Yes, I said it. Yes, I said it. So when we come back on the other side of the break, I am going to open up the phone lines. Just if you guys want to call in and share some of your stuff that's going on. It could be headlines. It could be anything that is relevant. If you, bring up any type of an announcement that I might have been missing, there's some Nisara talk going on. Not sure what's going on. I kind of know, but don't really know. So we're going to see how that plays out. But I do know that change is upon us. And I'm wondering, too, whether or not that we are ready. It's a multidimensional shift. Our body will be shifting. Our understanding will be shifting. And as we said last week, the dividing time is over. We are no longer cleaving apart. We will be going forward. We will be cleaving together. And that's a completely different understanding of the way things are. I am your host, Leanna Grace. I want to see if I can find a really cool song to play with you as we go into the break. Hopefully, I will have the volume of the music meeting the volume of my voice this time, so I don't, for those of you listening on headphones, not blowing out your eardrums, because that's just wrong. And that's just wrong. So I'm going through here, and I have a very specific title that I'm looking for, and I don't know that I have it uploaded. I was going to play When the Children Cry, but I think maybe we'll do something a little bit more upbeat. Let's do this. It's The Great Awakening. And I forget the name of the artist, but I'll give it to you at the end because I'll have to go ahead and look it up. It'll be listed on the webpage. It's 3.5 minutes, The Great Awakening. Very exciting song, and it's a very exciting time to be alive. I am your host, Leanna Grace. We're broadcasting live from the high mountain desert. We'll be back. No, we really will. Okay, there it is.
Seek no more dark to light. The storm is here, eyes open wide. Can't you see it happening? The world is watching. Must reclaim what is rightfully ours. We are with you. In color, we are one, and we stand for freedom. We stand for what's right. We stand for justice. We stand for life. Godspeed, Patriot. It's the great.
Lies, we seek truth. Amid truth, we awaken. It's time for Leander Grace Out Loud, because your silence will not protect you. Oh, your silence will not protect you indeed. Welcome back to the broadcast. I am your host, Leander Grace, still broadcasting live from the High Mountain Desert. Welcome you back to Holistic Truth here on Blog Talk Radio. Oh my goodness, we have a lot to talk about. We've talked about so much already. 30 minutes gone, and we still got so much more to bring. Okay, so the topic tonight, Great Awakening, the spiritual portion of the program is what we'll be speaking about tonight. Some people are going to call it Kundalini Rising, and that is a name that is there. You can use it if you want, but it is basically the highway to our God being cleared and that pathway to the pineal gland and above being opened up so we can hear, according to Psalm 19, hear the voice of God, hear what he has to say to us. We are built to listen to God. We just are. There's not any other way to put it. Now I'm going to use my other computer here to get into the chat room to see if anybody's joined us in there, so I can keep one eye on the chat room and another eye on what it is I'm doing. And we do have a visitor in there. Be wise. I want to welcome you. We're talking about Kundalini Rising, and I will be opening up if you have an awakening story or just want to tell the story of how you came to see about bringing you to today, the stuff going on the world stage, all of that, we can talk about it here in just a little bit. But right now, I just want to continue on. And first of all, we're going to talk about the bioneural health, okay? We're going to talk about the bioneural health and some of the spiritual practices that can help. Bioneural health is the main thing. That's our whole body, okay? Our biology and our neurology working together. So first thing that you'll notice when you start waking up spiritually and the Schumann frequency starts picking up and starts getting accelerated, one of the first things that you'll notice is you're going to heat up, you're going to get dehydrated, you're going to stay thirsty. And unless you have a diagnosis with a kidney issue, okay, I'm going to suggest that you drink as much water as you possibly can. Now, there's something about drinking a whole lot of water that's also going to do, it's going to flush out your system, but it's also going to make your system a little more raw than what we're used to, okay? If it's a little more raw, what does that mean? That means you'll feel on edge, okay? And so as you're burning calories, just like any type of person who's studying hard, you burn calories. Any journalist will tell you that they work all night on a project. They're burning calories as much as any athlete is. You're also going to be going through some electrolytes. You're going to be going through your minerals. And so you'll need to replace that, not just with water, but here's a good drink. Here's a little bit of a recipe that you might want to put together to keep your electrolytes up. And it's just like it's grandma's lemonade with a twist. So you want water and lemon juice. Reconstituted is fine. We're not going to worry about super duper organic. We're doing first aid. All right. We're doing awakening symptoms first aid. So you'll need lemon juice, a little bit of molasses, a couple of shakes of salt, and some water. And that's going to help. Pink salt is better because it has a little bit more of the trace minerals in it that your body is going to need. Remember, we don't just sweat and we don't just pee out water. It's all of the stuff that's going along with it. And we lose salts and volatile acids and everything else. So to replace that, you'll need to replace. I wouldn't suggest Gatorade. It has a whole bunch of stuff, including, you know, kidney cells, you know, aborted fetus cells. So stay away from all of that packaged stuff. You know, and strict with water, lemon juice, a little bit of molasses to taste, and make sure you shake some of that salt in there. And the reason is because the side of your tongue has a has a connection to the rest of your neurology, your salt intake monitor, basically the sides of your tongue where the salt goes. All right, so you want to end the sour. So you want to keep all of your tongue activated because then you know that your neurology is activated. Keep your teeth brushed, keep your tongue clean. These are the things that your body needs to know so it can become hungry. Once again, we'll talk about food here in a minute. So get as much sunlight fluid intake. Stay away from the sodas. You might find that coffee is no longer your friend. I am a coffee addict. I love it. I drink it morning to night. But when I'm in the middle of this particular syndrome and it comes and it goes, sometimes it stays longer than I was prepared for, coffee is not my friend. I can stand next to a pot of coffee. Trueness of it. Standing next to a pot of coffee, I feel an adrenaline buzz. That's how turned on your empathic system becomes during these times. Okay, so it's not you. You're not crazy. It's actually happening. All right, you stand next to the coffee and you feel like you're on caffeine. Yep, that's it. Somebody walks into the room and you feel like you got their knee injury. Yep, that's part of it. It's part of it. It's an all-out, unattached, energetic thingy that's happening. All right, so overall, let me put it this way. We are torsion fields. We all kind of know that. It's a baseline of an understanding. When your torsion field gets yucky, all right, let's say cut field will start shooting out different stuff, wavered energy in that. All right, so part of getting it back together is getting your body flowing together and getting your whole aura, some people would call it that, but it's more like your torsion field, your energy field that swirls around you, your life force, so to speak. So that's real important. Getting as much sunshine as possible is important. If you can't get sunshine, vitamin D3 will be fine. Talk to your physician. I'm not a doctor. I can't give a recommendation. But according to Google, I haven't finished my classes yet, but according to Google, you can find out what equals a basic amount, what's considered a normal amount. So you can make that decision yourself. And usually it's somewhere around 5,000 international units a day, but I'm not a doctor, so I can't tell you that. You'll have to do the research yourself. So another thing, you need to rest and you need to to move. All of, you know, I'm hearing a lot of reports, people all of a sudden they just feel fall down tired. All of a sudden just boom, hit a wall and they want to sleep. The only advice I have for that is sleep. And if you're at work, you know, if you have a full-time job and this comes upon you and you feel like you just need to pass out and sleep, you may need to take a few days off of work. That's just the reality of it. So you'll need to rest when your body feels tired. Sometimes you're going to lay down. It's only going to be for 10 minutes. It's only going to be for 10 minutes, but your body needs that 10 minutes to rest. And then you need to move. Make sure that you move. I like what the West Coast Wizard, for those of you who follow the West Coast Wizard, you know, those who are homebound and sit down, he has you moving in your seat and you're dancing all around. That's enough. Get the body moving. You know, if you can do weight-bearing exercises, just standing up and you know, doing like a little soldier dance in place or whatever, not dance but walk, you know, just make sure that you have your body moving because the energy is going to need to move through it. And I'm telling you this, and I'm going to tell you this right now, and it may scare the bejesus out of you, but I have even had stories and some experiences myself where a body, somebody's body would spontaneously curl up into a pretzel and hold that position, and they didn't do it. You say, well, Leanna Grace, yeah, it's not the same as falling down like an idiot and, you know, jumping around and bouncing and doing all that on the floor. But once that connection is made, and an agreement is forged, and there'll be an agreement. If you want to go forward with it, there'll be a time where you will make a conscious decision to go forward or not. Nothing will happen without your permission. But if you give your permission, have trust in the process. Okay, I have a lower back injury, and it was a life-changing injury. And believe it or not, and I've shared this with my physician, with my doctor, you know, that what I actually ended up, this isn't a position that I can get myself in. Okay, guys, I can't do it. But I ended up completely bent over with my right arm under my left leg. Now, that's not a position that I can get myself into even today. But that's what was done because evidently that's what was necessary. And afterwards, I could hear Holy Spirit much better. And that's about the best way that I can put it to you to understand the process that's going on during this awakening. And we've got the visitor in the chat room, BY says, I almost never drink coffee. Yeah, well, and during this time, during the awakening, when your body's on fire and going through this the energetics of it, you're not going to want to drink coffee. Chamomile tea and peppermint tea, those are always really good. Now, nutrition-wise, a lot of people report, and you know, I don't want to tell you what to expect put your head full of expectations and self-fulfilling, you know, prophecies and that, but eventually your body's going to not want to eat. Nothing will look good, nothing will smell good, nothing will taste good. It'll be fine, but it just won't impress you. It won't be something that you'll want to eat. There hasn't been a single case that I've coached through that hasn't gone through this at least one time for a period of time. And people will lose weight as a result of it. It's not a recommended diet plan, all right? But it is what occurs. Just think of any time that you're in heavy training, you're going to be burning calories. Well, this is heavy spiritual training, energetic training for your body. And you will, without trying, without moving even, you will burn calories at an expounded rate. So keep your nutrition up. I'm not going to say keep your calories up because that's not going to happen during this time. But the things that we do need to pay attention to during this time when your desire for food goes away, you're still going to need to eat. There's going to come a point where you're going to feel wired and tired all at the same time, all right? Almost strung out, if you can use that as a term to relate, like you've done an all-nighter and you've got to do another one. You'll feel that way whether it happened or not. So listen to your body. Slow it down. Give yourself little sips of things if you need to. I always recommend grape juice, and the reason grape juice, and I recommend a kosher grape juice like Manischewitz or something like that. And the reason is because of the way the grape is grown, it goes deep into the ground for the nutrients that our bodies need for this very particular time, believe it or not. Concord grapes are the best grape to use during this time and to eat during this time. Another good food to eat just a little pieces at a time, and I think you'll find that it hits your nutritional button real well, and that is dates, natural dates. Medjool are the best. They'll be eaten just like it's beautiful and it's wonderful. It has a complex, a superfood and a complex profile of nutrients. And so a little bit goes a long way. And if somebody is withdrawing from drugs and alcohol especially, dates is a really, really good pamper food, a really good nutritional food to give them so they can get through some of the treachery of that. So thing to pay attention to is mitochondrial DNA. Mitochondria are those little things inside our cells that look like little pills, little energy pills, right? And the more your body works, the more mitochondria needs to be present and all of that. And the mitochondrial DNA is separate. Mitochondrial DNA is actually the female DNA. It comes from your mommy. You don't get the mitochondrial DNA from your daddy. So this is a very specific DNA, and it has to do with energy and all of that. So pay very specific attention to that. Get as many green vegetables as you possibly can, as natural as possible. There are no rules. The biggest thing is find something that you can eat that is good for you, because what you'll be doing is you'll be feeding that ATP molecule within your mitochondrial DNA. And you'll be able to have a more full expression. It's going to be a maternal expression of your DNA, but trust me, this is where we want to go. And the other thing you'll need is your adrenal health. You'll find an extreme excitability during this time. You'll find that sometimes my speech pattern is very fast because my brain is working very fast because there's so much information I feel like I need to get out. So when you're going through these things also, and you're going to be unsure at first, and then you'll get a wave for it, all right? Once you kind of get into the groove of how to take care of it, and once that little pop goes up and you start hearing Holy Spirit and you're getting these intuitive pushes to do this, do that, listen to them, and then pause and check to see if it's right. Now, first of all, for me, sharing my experience, is that there was no calmness about it. Once I realized what was going on, my whole body just got excited. I still have journals back from that time, and I have a video recording from that time too. I think I still have some audio recordings as well, just to keep track of some of the things that were coming in so that I can reassure myself later, because it becomes very unreal. So I can remind myself later that, yes, that did happen, and it is very real. So some other things you want to talk about is your environment. Make sure you're in good surroundings. Now, not everybody can be in safe surroundings at this day and age. Not everybody can be in comfortable surroundings this day and age. It's just not going to happen because of the state of the world that it's in. But be in as calm a surrounding as you can, right? And take time to reflect. Pencil and paper are like tantamount, to intellect, write things down. Spirit's going to deal with you, and you'll need pencil and paper to write things down, because there's some exercises to do to get through some of the wayward energy. All right, so that's what's going to be going on. People are going to be losing their minds over this physical stuff. The body's going to feel like it's out of control, because it is. Your energy, your personal energy centers are going to feel like they're spinning every which way, because they are. And there's going to come a point perhaps that you feel like you can't keep your brain inside of your head, because you can't. You can't. You can't keep yourself inside your head. And eventually that pop will pop, or that top will pop. And there's no other way to explain it other than that. And when you experience it, then you will have these words to reflect back on. That's the best that I can do for that. Now, the other portion of it is, remember, we're dealing with energy, and this is going to be an adult portion of it. So there's been a lot of it. Also reports of during this Kundalini action, it feels in the beginning as if there is a spontaneous orgasmic occurrence at the very root chakra. From what I understand is it doesn't complete, but it begins to feel as if an oncoming orgasmic experience is happening, and then that energy will move up into the next chakra and up into the next. And sometimes it's very, very fast. And I've seen where sometimes it gets stuck in the solar plexus chakra and people bend over, or they double over because it's uncomfortable, maybe not painful, sometimes a little uncomfortable. These are the things that are going on. It is not a gentle process. the spiritual movement of energy through your body is not going to be gentle anymore going forward at all. It's not. And I want to tell you these things not to scare you, but to prepare you. When your body feels out of control, just get out of public, basically. Find a place to be quiet and go through and see what it's going to bring. And I started to look at it as an adventure. Ooh, what's going to come in this time? You know, and sometimes it was really weird, and sometimes it was assignments, and sometimes it was information that I needed to double check. And sometimes I would just sit for like 30 minutes in thought and not really move, nearly catatonic, but not so. I would blink, I would breathe, I would move position. So the reason I'm telling you this, and I haven't talked about this very much, and I'm, you know, for obvious reasons, but it's happening a lot to a lot of people all at once. And they're not understanding it. And it feels like they're going crazy, and they're going to a mental health provider, and they're getting medication, and it's going to hurt them. The medication will interfere with the process. It won't stop it. It will confuse it. It will not stop it. It will make it worse. It does not help, the psychiatric medications. What helps are carbohydrates. When you get out of control and all that stuff, throw in some of them there carbohydrates. If you're on a keto diet, well, you might just want to throw in a carbohydrate. Because the folks who are on the keto hydrate, they're the ones that are going to be experiencing some of this way before the rest of us that are stuffing donuts and pasta. And I have to make it a habit to eat lots and lots of pasta myself just to stay grounded. I was having that conversation with someone the other day. You know, to ground, I have to eat pasta or something very, very heavy to make me feel real, right? So I can calm down and think and be in a nice train of thought and all of that. Okay, so some of the emotional things, emotional. I think, you know, some people have told me that they expected us, they asked me, so, well, did you get real short-tempered? It's like, no, I didn't get short-tempered. I got short-timed, right? It's like I didn't have time for bullshit. It's basically what it was. And so I didn't have time to deal with pretension. I didn't have time to deal with manipulation or any of that. And it became very obvious. And when you get to the other side of this and you do the work and you do the internal work, you just don't have time for it. It's just, it's futile to play the game because it always ends poorly. And so that was the purpose for the dividing time, is to get those who are awakening away from those who are not just asleep, but will add to a nightmare because they don't understand that they're about to lose their friend to a calling. They're about to lose their family member to something else. And then there was the dividing times. But now is the cleaving together time, but not until we get to the rest of this. So some of the emotional well-being. Pardon me. I know you've said before that a lot of old emotional issues are going to come up, and they will. Some of them will come up easy to deal with. Some of them will come up in a haunting fashion. And what I have found, you know, this, especially some of those who are survivors of different traumas, if you have PTSD, those things will be coming up for your attention. They just are because they need it. It's not to torture you. It's to help you to resolve so you can get to the other side of this completely and not bring some of the yucky stuff with you. Does that mean that everything will be resolved on the other side? No, but it's easier to resolve. Things are easier to resolve. So journaling is going to help. It helps you have a contained outlet. And you say, well, Leanna Grace, why do I need a contained outlet? Because you're going to talk. That's all. You're going to talk. Your mouth is just going to go and go and go and go. And you're going to sound silly. And some of the things that are coming to your mind, you're not going to want to share. They're going to be very deep. And what the guardians always reminded me is that if something is sacred, keep that part sacred. There are some things that you will experience that you won't tell anybody, not for shame, but for holiness. There'll be things that you'll be going through, but you're like, I don't ever want to tell anybody this. This is mine and mine alone. And those are sacred times, and you don't owe that time or an explanation for that time or that thing or that occurrence or that insight to anybody. Okay, so keep sacred what is sacred. Keep holy what is holy. but you're still going to want to talk, and you're going to want to write it all down, and I'm going to suggest that you do that as often as you want. If you're able to stay just in that particular mode, then do so. If you have to have a job, you might not be very functional on the job during this time. But it has been my experience that Holy Spirit is not going to go through and wrapple you up while you have a 9-to-5 and other responsibilities. So usually these things are occurring to those who are unattached by accident or design through Holy Spirit. So some other things, you've heard this in 12-step programs, but it applies here too, is hungry, angry, lonely, tired. Always be ready to halt yourself. During this time, you will be raw emotionally, you'll be raw physically, you will be raw in all kinds of ways, okay? And so just remember not to let yourself get too hungry or too angry, because anger will come up. It's a healthy emotion when it's there for a reason. Too lonely or too tired, right? So again, talk to other people if you can. If you don't have anybody by your side to talk to, then find some kind of an outlet, but definitely journal and get some of these extraneous thoughts out and onto paper, because swirling around in your head without a ground, it will kind of make you nutty. That's just the way it is of any type of stressful situation. So again, talk, socialize. You're going to talk anyway. Might as well do it in public. If you're a social butterfly, you know, or a wallflower, either way, you know, you're going to need socializing, even if you're just in the middle of a room and see that people are real. Because again, during this time, things will feel very unreal, very unreal. You'll remember everything. It will feel surreal and unreal. Associations. This is the part where we're talking about the dividing time. Your associations, professional and professional, you're going to need to check them and check them at the door. People are going to get on your nerves. Things that you put up with coworkers and other people around your radius, you're not going to be able to put up with them anymore. You're going to lose patience. It's just the way it is. You're going to lose patience. It's okay. Remind yourself, okay, I'm losing patience. Withdraw for a little while. Give yourself some creature comforts, right? This is a time for tender, loving care of yourself. It's for tender, loving care of yourself. And when upsetting things come up, get a pillow, cuddle up, cry. You say, what? Yeah, you're going to cry. You're going to cry a lot. Sometimes for a reason, sometimes not for a reason, but I haven't met a human being alive yet that's gone through this program, through this process. Rather, it's not even a program. Holy Spirit's in charge of the process. It's gone through this, it hasn't just cried for no, just a cleansing of all of the ugh, right? No thoughts, no particular, I'm crying because of this, or I'm upset and now I'm crying more. It's just spontaneous tears for no apparent reason. Let that happen. Let it happen. You're going to be angry for no apparent reason. Let that happen. Scriptures tell us, you know, Ephesians 6:1, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon our wrath. Don't. It's okay. We're going to be angry. Just don't milk that little bit of anger until you do something ridiculous, right? That you're going to have to take, you know, be repentant for. And then as far as your mental being, focused activities. Now, this is where people really need to come together and think about it. Your mind is going 90 miles a minute. You're still going to be required in some regard to have a cogent conversation with people that are around you. How are you going to do that? And we've already talked about, you know, journals and that. So let's talk a little bit about some focused activity. Let me get a drink. Now, this is assuming that you're in an environment where you can do these things. And I'm going to suggest if you're not in an environment where you can do these things, that you find a way to get yourself into an environment where you can do these things. And I'm looking at a way, a portion of my ministry, to be able to help some folks hands-on with this. It'll be probably 30 to 45 days, maybe even 60 days, 90 days down the road, but working on a program, a recovery program, a spiritual recovery program from all of this junk, from all this stuff. All right, so we'll talk about that probably in a couple of months later on down the line as we get other things settled up. But a mental well-being, find a focused activity. It could be painting by numbers. It could be paper folding origami. It could be, you know, adult coloring books, something creative, yet something that's going to focus your attention, your mind. And some people, you know, have larger hobbies like woodworking and that. And one thing that I remember when I was on a lathe and I was doing my lathe work, I would have all of my attention going on to the work in front of me. And it's like I was solving the rest of the world's problems in the back of my mind. Okay, that's, you know, it wasn't really, but, you know, it's that behind the mind thinking where the problems work themselves out while we're in the middle of another focused activity. And so if you're an artist or something like that, find something that you can do to even puzzle thingies, even those, it's a focused activity that requires your left brain to get on board, because your right brain is going to be going nutty and it's going to have to get into alignment with your left brain so all sides can work together. Again, journaling, but something else, another exercise. Now, let's say, for instance, you're out in public, and all of a sudden you're hit by a mood, you know, because this is going to happen. You're going to be sensitive. You're going to pick up other people's moods. You're going to pick up their confusions, perhaps. And your mind might shift a little bit, and all of a sudden you lose track of where you're, what you're doing. You know, how we have a rhythm of how we move through the world and this and that. And you go into the grocery store, you pick this up, you're focused and that. And all of a sudden you can't focus. You know, and I've had times where I've looked at the shelf and there's so many things on the shelf that I can't read a single label. The information overload is just insane. And 5 years ago, I could read that no problem. 10 years ago, whatever that was. So what you might want to do, and have a pen and paper, like I said, always with you, pull out a little piece of paper and start writing out prime numbers. Now, prime numbers are any number that will divide into itself, but can be divided by itself or one only. So it would be 1, 2, 3, 5, 7, 11, 13, 17, 19, 23. Now, after I get to 23, then I have to start doing math. Okay, so I have to like, okay, 24, 25, 26, 27, and I have to go on up until I find a number like 29 that can't be divided. So now, because I've done this long enough that I get to 23, so now you're doing math. Your left brain's involved. You're solving a math problem. That's going to calm down your right brain. The energy is going to go to one side of your brain. The other one's going to calm down. Take a big, deep, diaphragmatic breath in through your mouth, in through your nose, and out through your mouth. Shift your weight around a little bit. Shake your shoulders. Do the exercise again. Now, if you don't have a pencil and paper, you can do it in your head. If you're able to do it in your head, after a while, you will be, because you may have to do it quite a bit. So the focused activity, also any creative arts, physical pacing. Now, I've told the story where I found myself kind of pacing around in a circle in my kitchen and didn't know why, and then it was over, and I guess I just needed to pace around in a circle in my kitchen. I looked absolutely ridiculous, and if anybody with a white coat had walked up, I'm sure they'd want to put me away, but it's just part of the process. And I knew I looked ridiculous, and I felt ridiculous, and the whole time I was like, why am I doing this? Why am I even doing this? And then when I was done, I was done. And I still don't know why I did it. These are the little bitty things that are going to come up, going to make you feel odd, perhaps, and a little bit different. And it is. And you may need to be a little more accepting of yourself and the oddities that are coming. They don't stay. None of them are long-lasting. I've had perfectly equitable conversations with professionals in large settings and small since that. And I'm able to be perfectly cogent on a radio program most of the time as well. So, I was talking to some of my team earlier as well, is that, you know, had a whole instructional issue going on and there was no energetic overload. So that's what we're looking at. Now, there's some muscle memory things that are going to happen. You know, small tasks. There may be a period of time where you feel as if you have what I would think OCD would feel like. you know, I had to wash my hands or I had to do this. So there were very specific tasks, very specific routines that I needed to do. It was only for a period of time. All of this was temporary and very fleeting, but everything seemed to have a meaning, if nothing else, than just to pace my body, pace my mind, pace my steps, so that I wouldn't get lost in some of the fluffy stuff that goes on as well. So that's what's going on, guys. Now, as far as the meal goes, you know, like I said, you're going to come to a point where nothing really tastes good. And the first time Holy Spirit ever took me shopping, where I knew that Holy Spirit was in charge of my list, you know, I ended up buying some things that I had never purchased before or used differently. And there was only like four or five things that I got, and that was butter, brown rice, eggs, and cottage cheese. Those were the, and lemon juice, and I didn't know why until later I made the lemon drink. And so those things I got, and all of a sudden I just found myself making these things. And so what I want to do is give you a recipe for a frittata that works really, really well. It's very easily digested, and it is packed full of trace nutrients and B vitamins. And so it's you need to use overly cooked, I mean well cooked brown rice. Now, brown rice's history here in America is usually a baby's first food. You know, it's brown rice cereal. It's pablum. So our bodies can very easily digest this form of protein, and it has a pack full of B vitamins as well, more than white rice or basmati or any of the others. And so brown rice for this particular dish is the best. And then you'll want a couple of scoops, one or two scoops of cottage cheese, because it's the easily digested cheese protein, as well as a little bit of the lactic stuff and nuts going on there, lactobacillus stuff. And then two eggs. And you'll put the rice and the eggs and the cottage cheese together and make a frittata on low heat. And cook it very low and cook it very slow. I think the first, you want salt and pepper again, because you want the pepper for digestion and the salt for the electrolytes and for the taste to round out. And I think you'll find that this is easy to eat, easy to digest. Your body will welcome it. Be very careful and only eat until you feel full. Don't overdo it. And then if there's enough left over, then, you know, eat that until you don't want to eat anymore. You say, Leanna Grace, you mean for breakfast, lunch, or dinner? If that's what it takes. Here's the thing. You got to eat. You got to eat. And if your body won't eat what you usually eat, if it won't allow you to taste good, then this is an alternative meal. This is a meal that 100% has never gone wrong for anybody who's looked for it. Now, there's also something else you might want to put into it, and just really tickles the senses without overpowering them. And it is a peppering medley. So it has allspice, and coriander is really good. Coriander seed is really good for now, not coriander powder. But crushed coriander seed has a real bright taste, and it's very good for your energetics during this time as well. So that's what we've got for awakening care and symptoms. You know, the Holy Spirit's moving. The domes are shaking. It's not just the dome over the face of the earth. It's our own individual domes. Our own energy centers are being shook up. And it's all for good. It's all for a reason. You think, oh, well, here we go again. Yeah, here we go again. But when you get to the other side of this one, yeah, it's pretty cool. Now, some of the gifts that are coming on board, empathy is a big gift. And I'll be teaching a class going forward, Empathy 101. Because I think what we're going to be finding out, and what I've been teaching for 10 years, and you can go back through some of the other broadcasts on Leanna Grace here on Blog Talk Radio. There's some of my other episodes. I haven't consolidated them yet, back from 2013 and 14, all the way back to Occupy Wall Street in that era. Care of our body, because Holy Spirit's going to be moving. And for those of us who are to be waking up in a spiritual manner with gifts and power, we're going to have our temples ready. And as it gets shaken and as it gets all kinds of confused and moved around and all that, and you feel like you're losing your mind, you're still going to have to eat. Now, for some people, it's going to be big. For some people, it's just going to be little. Everybody is different. But I wanted to give this out tonight, as I have in the past in different programs. I wanted to put this out tonight so that folks could be aware. The awakening is, it's not just about uncovering all the bad deeds of the bad guys. That's part of it. The rest of it is waking up to the truth of God. And waking up to the truth that we are biologically created and we are designed with all of the appropriate parts and the energetic pathways and the highways to our God to speak to God and commune with the Holy Spirit. You're made for this. We really are. But we were told for a very long time that we weren't. And for whatever reason, those were the stories that were passed down through even the evangelical community. You know, and I was raised in, you know, I was raised in the Southern Baptist Church. That's the one that I attended during my formative years. They have the fastest rapture and the most brimstone. And one of the tenets of the Baptist Church, or one of the doctrinal beliefs of the Baptist Church, is that alcohol should not be fermented. And I'm going to tell you that, yeah, it should. That's one of the biggest things that I had with religion. One of my issues with some of these doctrinal rules and policies is that it didn't add up. And after you get a couple of it didn't add up, then you just want to stop listening. So a lot of people have a big hang up about even the lowest of alcohol volume of wine. They think that if they're going to sip a little bit, they're going to go to hell. And that's not the truth. And then we got these other people who are going to church every day, every Sunday, on a Wednesday, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday, doing Bible study, doing all this stuff, and they're still sleeping with their neighbor's wife. So God's going to be dealing with the church on a level that the church has never seen before. God's going to be dealing with the church on the level of hypocrisy that the church has never considered being caught in before. And the claim it and name it and shame it and then blame it, it's going away. And all this fire upon you, false prophets, they're going away if they haven't been gone away already. All of these clouds without water, these ones that sneak into widows' houses and whisper folly to them and take their money, they're going away. The people will not put up with it anymore. In fact, it is not uncommon. It is part of our heritage and history on this continent before the white man got here. Well, I mean, we know that that's a whole other story in and of itself. Before the European settlers came, it's told in the Iroquois history up in the very, very north that there was a tribe that they had gotten so tired of their medicine men and religious leaders misleading them and being and terrorizing and being tyrannical over them. That is said that the people rose up and killed all of their religious leaders. And that was just before we got here. There was a whole cataclysm that went on before we got here. The whole thing, a whole bunch of stuff occurred that we don't necessarily have access to the documentation. It's documented. The Native Americans, when we got here, they weren't savages. They had survived a cataclysm, the same as the cataclysm over in Europe that brought us here, besides the tyranny. There was a lot of cataclysmic things going on. That's what caused the first reset. Oh, she said it. Yes, I did. Back in the 1900s, when our history is so shady. You know, they say they put up a building in Utah in 72 hours. There's no freaking way. Not if the things were the way that they said they were. So that building was already here. When we got here, when the European settlers pushed west, we found, oh, wow, there's a whole bunch of other stuff here, too. San Francisco was huge and dynamic, and it had all kinds of different technological things on it. And then, oops, it burnt. So there's a whole bunch that we're going to uncover. We are not the weakened animals that we've been led to believe. They've been trying to weaken us. But we are powerful beyond our imagination. That's why we need God. Help us wield this, what he gave us. We can't do it on our own. We need God. Help us do this. There's a shaking going on, and things will become extremely confusing even for some who think they know what's going on. I know that I'm ready to be confused. And somebody asked me the other day, they said, well, are you scared? I said, yeah, I'm scared, but I'm not scared of being scared. I'm a little bit scared, of course, comfy as anything. But I'm a little scared, but I'm not scared of being scared. It's like going on a carnival ride. I'm going to be scared, but I'm not scared of being scared. We can do this. It's all right. Whatever this is that we're going to be doing, going forward, because God's got it. The globalists lose. God wins. Davos, the people in Davos, they're being exposed left and right. Citizen journalists are up there questioning them with cameras in their face, asking real-life questions rather than their shoe size. Right? What kind of ice cream did you have? No. These rebel patriots, this patriot news people, they're in their faces of the CEO of Pfizer saying, did you know that it didn't work? And since you knew that it didn't work, why didn't you tell anybody it didn't work? How much money did you make? Do you not feel bad? In their faces. Because these people orchestrated a whole big old thing to kill us. And we're not dead. And they've got some reckoning to do. I'm pouring myself a little bit of drinky poo here. Set back just a minute. Redirect some thoughts. Calm it down just a skosh. A lot's going on. There's always, as we've been saying, maybe not in this broadcast or directly in the near history, but we said before, there must be an undoing before the rebuilding, and it's the same with the awakening process. And I'm not talking about the world stage. I'm talking about what's going on inside you. There's an undoing before the rebuilding, but God said he's got this. He makes all things new. Old things will pass away. All things will become new. And not just the heaven on earth, and not just the physicalness, and not just the med beds, and not just the things that we expect to be coming upon that we've heard the scuttlebutt about. But God said he's going to give us a new heart and a new mind and a new soul. He's going to make all of that new. And it's all going to work together. And it's all going to be in harmony. But as it comes together from all of these dimensions of our being, and it all comes into alignment, that last little bit, as everything comes into the same little piece of frequencies, whether it's your physical or your metaphysical or your spiritual or whatever it is, it's going to be that tension. It's going to be that, as it gets closer and closer into alignment, there's more and more resistance until the very end, boom, and then it evens out. In fact, if you're in the throes of this little craziness now, you're in the process of having it even out. You've already gotten through the hard part. Now, the rest of it is letting it even out and understand how the gift that's coming to you is going to express itself. And mine is empathic intuitiveness. And I was speaking of, so, you know, I've talked about this gift for quite a few times over the years to quite a few people. And this one individual, I think she was a healthcare worker. I think she was a nurse. I was talking to her and she was telling me this, and I was telling her about my gift. I said, yeah, it's empathy and it's intuition. So she goes, so you feel what other people feel. I said, well, it's not quite like that, but sort of like that, but not quite like that. But I'm subject to feel what's going on around me. And I explained to her, she goes, well, that didn't sound like a gift at all. I was like, well, it's what I've got, and it's what we deal with, and it's what I've got to work with, so we might as well make it work really, really well. And it has its attributes. I mean, it's not the biggest chain in the world. I mean, I get to learn really quickly, and, you know, I can interpret things pretty fast now. There's some good things with it, but yeah, if I get around in a hostile environment, it can wear me down. If I hear a lot of black pilling, I have to get it out of my head. If I come across a narcissist who all they want to do is just put one little turd on your nice clean sheet, right? You've got this whole thing and you're like, oh, and then the narcissist comes up and just puts that turd right in the middle of your clean sheet and you can't get it out and it can't be undone. And they live rent-free in your head for a little bit, and then you got to shoo them away. That's what happens. The adversary will send things to you to trip you up in a weak moment. It doesn't feel good, but it happens. So the awakening care and symptoms, that's it. We're awakening on all of it. on all of it. And now next week, we're going to talk about our spiritual gifts. On Wednesday, spiritual gifts, different things. We're even going to be seeing people coming out with some telekinesis. That's going to be cool. Now, I don't personally have telekinesis or pyros or none of that, and I don't have any of the kinesiseses. But I know that some people will, and they're going to have to be able to wield those gifts. We're going to be opening up on spiritual lanes at breakneck speed, and it's going to be a little bit teetery at first. But I think we'll get through this. We did this once before between the years of 2011 and 2013. There was a huge push during the spiritual portion of the awakening. People weren't even paying attention to the politics of the moment. They didn't care less about what was, well, mostly, not all, but you know, a lot of people, they didn't care less. They were so tuned in on their spiritual fitness. And now that they're tuned into all that spiritual fitness, now the political thing's coming on. Now the people that were focusing on the politics are coming into the spiritual. See how God balances that out? You know, you don't have everybody doing everything at once. That's just a big old mess. And all of you folks who have been through it before, you're going to be held responsible to help these folks through it in an understanding manner. Not lord it over as if you have all of their answers, because you do not have all of their answers. You have answers, and some of them might work for other people. And in this regard, if you consider yourself a coach, especially for those who are awakening, remember that you are not in charge of the process. You are not responsible for the process. You can't accelerate it. You can't slow it down. You can't do anything. You can hold people's hands. That's what you can do for another person. And you can listen, and you can help redirect conversationally. But the moment you try to take control of somebody else's awakening experience, I want to tell you, Holy Spirit will come in and swoop down and rescue that person from your egotistical clutches. Oh, she said it. I'm saying it big time. We have to be very humble and very honest when we're dealing with people who are awakening. And the reason is because they can smell a lack of integrity better than with those of us who are seasoned. Our senses become dulled over time. Those are brand new and they're awakening, and they will smell your disingenuousness. And then you just lost an opportunity to help somebody. They're going to need to either get no help whatsoever and do it on their own, or they're going to have to find somebody else to assist them. Because during the awakening process, especially, it's the same as waking. Man, it's a trip. I have an analogy to give you. I'm choosing not to use that particular analogy at the time, but it is working like a wild animal almost. That's the analogy I'll use. It can be like a wild animal. Your senses are like a wild animal in a cage. It's like, sometimes. And it doesn't look pretty, doesn't sound pretty, doesn't feel pretty. And if someone decides that they need to, you know, someone who thinks they know better is going to come in and tell them how they need to feel during this process, that's not going to work. Then you immediately bring judgment into a spiritual experience, and that hampers it. And if the person you're next to tells you don't touch you, don't touch them. If they're having an energetic moment, they don't want anything to touch them for a second, don't touch them. If they just need to talk and talk and talk and talk and talk, you can listen. Just listen. Just let them talk. You don't have to remember anything that was said, because the information that's coming out isn't for you. The information that's coming out is for them to hear through their own voice. That's the beginning of it. So we can't tell them how they're supposed to feel in it. We can tell them what they might want to expect. It has to be an arm's length process. You cheer them on and you feed them. And you make sure they have what they need. Groveling around on the floor and they ask you for something, meet them on the floor and give it to them, because they're on the floor for a reason. And it has nothing to do with you. And they don't even know what it's about sometimes. Can you imagine? Who was the prophet? Was it Ezekiel that had to sit on his side? One of them had to eat feces. I haven't had to do that. One of them had to lay on their side for days, 100, almost a year, 300 something. I didn't have to do that. There's a lot of weird things that goes on during this awakening. If you're coming into the gift of prophecy, especially, you're going to act like an idiot for a while. That's just the way it's going to be. Embrace that and understand that it will resolve itself on the other side. It's not a gentle process. very, very messy. It is a rebirthing process. And just like in a normal natural birth, and this isn't my words, this is coming from the book of Kundalini Transcendence or Psychosis, just like in any birth, there is tearing. It's violent. Birth is violent. It doesn't have to be. It is to the woman's body these days. This awakening can be not an act of violence, but it feels violent, violent, erupting inside. You don't act out violently. Don't anybody misquote me on that, say, ooh, it makes you violent. No. But there's a feeling that erupts, and there's an internal violence. And it's rough. Would you say that giving birth to a child is an act of violence? No, but violence occurs to the body. Right? Aggressiveness, tears, and blood, and tissue. And it's going to be the same way in the psyche. A little bit of tearing, a little bit of opening, a little bit of filling in. Fluffing it up like a nice little pillow so God can use it. It is not a gentle process. But it is exciting. And you won't see anything like it on TV, let me tell you. And the things that are going to be going on internally for that person is only for that person. And so if you're going to sit there and say, what do you think about now? What's going on? Oh, really? And make it about you? Person isn't coming awake so that they can teach you. This person is coming awake so they can learn what their gift is. And if you're trying to exploit their awakening process, God will, Holy Spirit will deal with you. This is a holy time for some of these people. It will never occur again the way it's occurring. And there are little nibbles everywhere, little smells. And that's all I can say, energetic smells. It doesn't smell like something, but this nuances to the whole experience that will never be verbalized, can never be put into a sentence or into words. It can never be verbalized. It's just it's something that happens, and it's an understanding of things. And so it's okay to be private about it as well. It's okay to be sacred, not secret to hide in shame, but sacred to protect the truth. Because what's occurring during the awakening process is sacred. It is sacred. And it's to be respected as a sacred process, part of the sanctification process. And if you're coming into a gift because God has a very specific task for you to do, it might get a little rougher than some others. But you got it. You're made for it. It's the way God did it. So that's what we got, the awakening process. And I know people are talking about the Great Awakening, the political portion of it, but for me, it's always been about this. It's always been about waking up to see the truth of things. And in that venue and in that way, we must wake up and know the truth about God and the truth about Christ. We must know our history. We must know what year it is, because that in and of itself has become a big lie. We're about 1,000 years off. Say, what year? We're about 1,000 years off. If we look at some of the buildings, when we came over from the New World and there was a great big influx of everything, including incubator babies. Oh, yeah, we weren't primitive back then either. Incubator babies came on over at the turn of the century. In fact, Seinfeld's granddaddy, I think, came over as an incubator baby. Just saying, how do I know? Because he said it. So there's a lot of our history that has not been brought to us, or has not been kept fresh in our memory so that we could learn from it, so that we can have a better understanding of it. We came over here, there was all kinds of stuff that we'd never seen before. I do believe that the United States, the continental United States, was at a higher technological advance than what we were even ready for. From what I'm understanding on all of the Tartarian history, And you can search for that. The Tartarian history is that the fireplaces, people were complaining because the houses were cold and drafty. These great big castles that they found, that they were cold and drafty because the fireplaces were too small, but they weren't supposed to be burning wood in those fireplaces. There was an alternative fuel. And everything was lit up in electricity for the fairs because electricity had existed long before on this continent, a long time ago. What we're going to find out is very soon we're going to be returning to free energy. Tesla energy is coming about. Pretty sure. We've been waiting for this. We've been waiting for a very long time. Cures are coming up. The free energy is coming up. Real free energy. Not this, you know, solar panels are good on a small scale. Wind turbines are good, not on the great big old 45 million steps ones, but, you know, for local on your house to run a small thing. So locally on small applications, solar and wind are excellent sources of energy, but they're not consistent and they're not reliable. Etheric energy is consistent and it is reliable and it's generated by the earth itself. And I think that the only thing that we would need to pay for is the service to get it, not how much we get, but just the service to set it up. Somebody's telling me they got these little things in boxes. Like you can have this little box. Now, I don't know how it works. Now I'm just making stuff up. But what I think I remember, let's just make it up. Media does. But what I think is like this little box that is, I don't know, it's a free energy thingy. It's linked to Starlink and all kinds of goodies. I don't know all the ins and outs of it, but I can make it sound real exciting. So a lot of good things are coming our way, a lot of good technologies that can be used well. I think we're going to find out some more about the flying disc. When we got Kerry talking over in Davos about extraterrestrial, like, you know, that's another thing to look at. If they try to pull Project Blue Beam out and give us holographic extraterrestrial invasions and stuff like this, be on the lookout for that stuff. Because they're going to try some silly stuff. I just know they are. The globalists have lost. They're on their way out. There's here tell that the military is protecting them at Davos. I suspect that they'll be arresting them at Davos. I don't know it. I just suspect it. I don't see any other way around it. The whole global genocide. Crazy, isn't it? So if you ever wondered how it is that the era of World War II, the Nazis were so easily able to subdue their people and have them go along in with these outlandish orders of isolating people in the ghettos and that. Now we know. Because the majority of the people went along with this whole charade, no matter how many of us tried to argue against it. And not only that, but there was peer pressure for us to conform. Now, the ones who did that, they're ignorant. They're not necessarily evil. They're just ignorant. And those are the people that we're going to have patience with on the other side of this. We're going to have to be there for them because they're going to feel like idiots. We were right about everything. And they're going to be angry about that too. So we need to not push it in their face because they're going to be embarrassed. And although there is a place for that, you know, we don't have to add the coals on our heads by acting we knew more, we do more, and I told you so more. So that's just, it's not necessary. We all wake up at different times. And as we said on the program Friday, you know, God has some people asleep for a reason, and it's not any of our business what that reason is. It's just not. So let me go ahead and take a look at the time. Let's see if we make sure we caught everything. We did, as a matter of fact. We hit that. Yep, there we go. Biden's going down, right? The vultures are circling. He's set up his last setup. All of the evidence is being gathered around. Let's find out how this movie's going to end on the world stage with him. It's all coming together for good stuff. All right, so the time is that time. I want to thank you guys for joining me for the broadcast tonight. Let me take a look, see how much time we got left. I got a couple of screens open here. Let me go toggle back and forth. We're down. We still got another half hour. How about that? So we had BY Serpents in the chat room, went ahead and took out the commit Camelon. I'm not sure what they were talking about in the chat room. So we talked a little bit about tea, a little bit about coffee, all of that. Taking care of yourself during this process. Taking care of yourself. That's what God said. even in Isaiah, and I really do think that in Isaiah 40, chapter 3, it's talking about this on a spiritual level. It's not a personal interpretation. I think it's talking about it on a different dimensional level, an interpretation for the scriptures. I double-checked it with some of my Hebrew folks. Yep, looks like it. So we need to consider that. We were told in the very beginning to make ready the highway for our God. Build it up. Build it up in strength. Build it up in understanding. Now, some folks have been saying that, Xander Grace, you're not telling people to meditate enough, right? And I'm not. They're right. In fact, I looked on past this page and it said meditate. Tell them to meditate enough. That becomes a topic. Not everybody understands the meditation issue, but meditating is amazing. It's clearing your mind. It's not thinking. Being raised in the Baptist church, we were told that if we emptied our mind, that just led a road for Satan to get in. But no, it lets if you're aligned with Christ, and that's who comes in. So with meditation, I actually had to find a tract for myself so that I could listen to it without being distracted. And there is a meditation technique on YouTube, and it's called How to Meditate. Mm-hmm. And it has a little animation with a little blue person and all that. And the gentleman, I think, is an Eastern, almost an Indian, I think, Indian accent. And his voice is very soothing, and the music is very soothing. And I was able to meditate with that. But let me tell you, in meditation, it's not a matter of not thinking. It's not a matter of stopping thoughts. It's a matter of no thought and no breaths. And when you reach the point in your meditation where you be at no thought and no breath, the awareness comes of an energy that is nearly just showering down, and you can nearly feel it physically, but you can perceive the energy coming down into the top of your head. So we'll talk a little bit about forward going, talking about meditation a little bit going forward. But to me, that's a very personal issue. Again, this whole awakening process is a very personal issue. If meditation, if you're not familiar with meditation, and if it makes you uneasy, I am going to suggest that you find, gosh, I wish I could give you just the link right now, and I don't have it. I have a 5-minute clip from it, but it's a 7-part series. It's an hour long, and if I'm lucky on a good day, I can find it searching it through YouTube, and it's How to Meditate. That's the title of it, and it has a little, you know, cartoony, not cartoony, but etheric looking, you know, very dimensional stuff, but it explains what happens during meditation. It explains what happens to the etheric body, and it explains it while you're going through these steps. So it's all pretty amazing. He explains also the point of getting to no thought and to no breath. And a lot of different things occur to that. So it's a good way of getting, you know, your system calmed down. And a good way of bringing in your energy into a central core instead of having it scattered out and that. So that's what we have for you this evening, the awakening care and symptoms. We're almost there, folks. But even when we're on the other side of there, wherever the there is that you happen to be waiting for and that, there's always more to do on the other side. We're here to help one another. We're here to lift each other up. We're here to teach each other through this. And that's the only way we're going to do it. Where we go, when we go all, it's not just a catchphrase. We're going to be seeing our Vice President John F. Kennedy Jr. coming onto the stage pretty soon. I think we're going to see all of the other folks that we've missed that were gone too soon come out pretty soon. I don't know this. I sort of suspected. I kind of think I might know. I don't know. So research what you hear, so I don't want to lead you astray in that, but I think we're going to find some very exciting things going on coming forth. We know, you know, that there's just big changes coming, and I feel like now if I was to go any further in the broadcast, I would just be stretching and rambling, and there's not really a whole lot of reasons for that. I am your host, Leander Grace. I'm bringing it to you live from the High Mountain Desert. we are Leander Grace Out Loud because our silence doesn't protect us. And that's another thing, guys. We were given a voice for a reason. We need to start talking. People, what I understand now is people are ready to listen. But they're going to listen if you explain rather than lord over, right? If you tell them with attitude, it's not going to be any fun for them to find out. Try to get on the same side of the desk or bring them to the same side of the desk as you as you get through the next couple of days and the rest of the information continues to pour out, drip, drip, flood onto the world stage. I am your host, Leander Grace. Hope you found value in tonight's broadcast or podcast. Pod people, we do love you too. I invite you back again next week. Hopefully we'll be here. Same bat time, same bat channel. What are we going to do? Well, how about healing some of our human experiences through empathy, compassion, and ultimately forgiveness? Perhaps some more headlines, and maybe some personal historical stuff, maybe some hysterical things. Who knows? We'll bring it. We do want you to join us. Us is inclusive. Hopefully we'll be able to be on here. I'm hoping. I'm scheduling for Friday. We'll see how it goes. Paid through the 23rd. We'll see if we can make it that far. We'll find out how the schedule is going to happen. We've been broadcasting live from the High Mountain Desert. I am your host, Leander Grace, reminding you to, as always, to watch for those signposts, connect the dots, find your path, live in love, and do something good as we learn to forgive. And until next time, I'm going to bid you a fond good night. And I'm looking for my little button, and there it is. Okay, guys, good night.